Audio Discourse of The Plan for Restoration of Constitutional Government by Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom. Episode 5, Part 3, Connections Created Between Regional Elements, Offensive and Defensive Operations. Overview. By this time, there will be a clear indication to the people that occurrences of the recent past are not random, nor are they temporary or limited. It will be apparent to most of those who are not tied to their daily regime that there is something afoot. Forces will begin gathering on both sides, and it's time to consider that activities will, of necessity, become more open and notorious. Logical conclusions begin to direct the rebel forces, those in rebellion against the Constitution, to assert their presumed authority to groups of individuals who they suspect of any involvement in the ongoing activities. As operations become larger and more frequent, there will be efforts to create open confrontation, which should be avoided, however, must be prepared for. If a raid is anticipated against the committee or constitutional elements, an ambush should be planned. Consideration of just who might be an enemy or a rebel, and here's a reference then to an article, Popping Cops. Whether the protection of the community warrants and what might be done to prevent participation by certain people suspected of being in support of rebel forces should be included in operational planning. The objective is to secure, by peaceful means if possible, otherwise by carefully applied force, both the government and the facilities of government. Laying siege to a government's facility or law enforcement station may be necessary. The objective, however, is to, whether by peaceful means, siege, or force, secure and transition all aspects of local government to a constitutional basis and remove all restrictions against personal use of private property as well as public use of public property. Historical perspective. On April 12, 1775, John Hancock, president of the Massachusetts Provisional Congress, which later became the Massachusetts Committee of Safety, called for all counties to appoint committees of safety. A flyer of this instrument can be seen on the main page of www.committee.org. This call was not in anticipation of the events to occur exactly 1 week later. It was over the realization that events occurring in western Massachusetts would, without a doubt, lead to an escalation of the confrontations between colonies and the Crown. Reference to an article, The End of the Revolution and Beginning of Independence, which addresses those matters that occurred up to over a year before Lexington and Concord. The militia at Lexington, and shortly thereafter, militia from the surrounding area of Lexington and Concord, found that they were being called to defend the rights of Englishmen. It was no surprise and had been anticipated for a while. The time, however, had come to put words into action. The law, if you will, was set aside, at least with regard to opposition to royal government forces. Militia from four colonies rose to the occasion, flooding the area around Boston with tens of thousands of militiamen. Jurisdictional boundaries ceased to exist when the fight for independence began. Many committees of safety charged some people with being inimical to the cause of American liberty, barred them from keeping their long arms, seized their property, and jailed them. There were some larger cities that were not brought under permanent colonial control throughout the entire war. Boston was held by the British for months until finally secured. New York was occupied shortly after Boston was evacuated by the British and held until well after the end of the war. Charleston, South Carolina remained in British control throughout most of the war, and Philadelphia was under absolute British control for many months. Each, however, with the exception of New York, was relinquished eventually, with Yorktown being the epitome of submission to siege tactics. Role of the committees. Committees need to continue to expand their defensive measure and direct the militia to perform, as necessary, any defensive actions. They might also begin evaluating certain rebel government agencies which are acting inconsistent with the Constitution and anticipate emulating the activities that might be necessary for public protection, judicial, and public safety in the event of a failure in the existing system, and prepare to take over those responsibilities for the community should the need arise. Local or county government can be secured by peaceful means through cooperative transition. A committee from the Committee of Safety can approach the existing government and explain the objectives of the plan. If the local government or any portion of the government is receptive, then they should be recruited and retain their capacity, allowing, however, that town meetings, the will of the people, will prevail in all decisions making and will be consistent with the Constitution, allowing landowners any reasonable use of their land and doing away with administrative agencies unless compliance with such agencies is voluntary. Where cooperative transition is not practical and resistance is met, well-planned use of the militia to secure local or county government is required. This can be accomplished by arresting members of existing government and replacing them by appointment of replacements by the committee until such time as elections can be held. In coordination with other local committees, conduct a study of the region in which they are situated to determine what facilities need to be maintained operational should be conducted. This should include hospitals and other medical facilities, communication facilities, public utilities, public transportation, production of food and other necessities, commercial transportation of necessary products, emergency operations centers, and reestablishment of local government on a constitutional principle. Plans should be prepared to take over the operation of these facilities using militia teams to assure that those who regularly work in these facilities continue to operate efficiently, or to replace those with militia members or volunteers where the reliability of existing personnel comes into question. Both a loyalty oath and separation as much as possible of existing employees as to working locations to protect against conspiracy and sabotage will afford some protection. Consideration should also be made to provide county or city government where necessary. This would include only performing necessary functions of government. It will also be necessary to establish a format for elections and electors. See referenced article, Some Thoughts on the Election Process. Creation of a working judicial system will be necessary to replace those that are no longer operational or are operating outside of constitutional restraints. A judicial committee should be formed of people versed in legal functions. Any consideration of continued judicial activity should exclude any civil actions, forthcoming changes in valuation of currency, legitimacy of contracts, etc. It is a burden that need not be addressed until constitutional government is fully restored. Only criminal charges of crimes against persons, property, or the constitutional restoration should be heard. Occupation of any emergency operations center would be beneficial, since these are self-contained, self-supporting, and very defensible facilities. If the militia were to secure them, they would make ideal operations centers for both the committee and the militia. With their communications equipment, they might provide better communication with other constitutional forces and would provide liaison committees means of communicating with rebel government agencies. Ways and means need to be developed so that supplies for the militia and other necessary supplies can be provided, as well as compensation for active militia duty. Securing property of those inimical to the Constitution and other financial resources needs to be developed. Another consideration at this point is what to do about large, heavily populated areas. Though a rather lengthy subject, it is without a doubt a serious concern, especially if bypassing such an area might leave a flank or rear subject to attack from such obstacles that don't warrant a commitment that would deplete your resources in the continuation of the plan. This objective is addressed in detail below in Scenario for Large Population Areas. That will be found in Episode 6. The Militia Committee. Along with previous duties, the Militia Committee needs to begin setting up liaison with other militia units for both joint actions as well as future consolidation into a larger multi-county militia unit. A code of conduct for the conduct of militia members, as well as instructions for conduct and treatment of people and property in occupied areas, needs to be developed. A model code can be found in the Lieber Code, which is referenced, linked, which could be developed into or become the foundation for establishing a model code for militia and committees of safety. The Correspondence Committee. This point in activity begins a transition in the approach to public relations. Prior to this point, most of the public relations have been for justification or, at least, mitigation of activities that have been taken in accordance with this plan. Correspondence Committee should become more aggressive in encouraging support for the activities and encouragement of others who have previously sat on the fence to make decisions regarding the future of their lives and that of their children. Correspondence committees should work with the county recorder's office to assure that copies of all county records, including minutes, ordinances, public records, and other documents, be made available without charge through the internet, if available, or buy copies if internet not available. Having successfully achieved this point in the progression of the plan, belief in the ability to achieve the goal of constitutional government can be looked upon more favorably. The potential for success is perhaps the greatest motivator for participation by those who have previously sat and watched. Patriotism to the Constitution should be highly promoted. Judicial Committee. Judicial systems are necessary to the safety of a community. If the local judiciary is unable to perform its function properly, that is, constitutionally, it will be necessary to establish a new system for criminal complaints and to try those inimical to the Constitution. The judge's role in court is to assure that a fair and orderly trial is conducted. Determination of guilt and punishment should be left to the jury. The Judicial Committee will be dealing with crime and disloyalty matters, but not with civil or contractual matters. It should be comprised of people versed in common law instead of statutory law. Judicial committees or appointees shall coordinate with the other judicial committees in similar positions to provide for a degree of standardization to the practice to be employed, at least within the state. An article, Some Thoughts on the Judicial Process, is linked. Liaison Committee. Liaison committees should be exerting efforts in feeling out rebel government agencies, explaining that their cooperation now would best serve the entire country, and their commitment to the cause might secure their future employment in their current capacity. Identification of those sympathetic, even remotely, to the purpose of restoration need to be nurtured so that when the opportunity comes to bring them over to the right side, the groundwork is prepared for a smooth transition. Intelligence Committee. The Intelligence Committee should be preparing organizational charts for both government and industrial facilities to act independent of other government agencies or corporate operations. Operating plans for these entities should also be prepared, including supply sources for the continuation of services. Personal records should be stored in a shared database to make them available to others who may have need for such information. Militia duties. At the direction of the committee, the militia may become active at this point. Much of what they will be involved in will be garrison-type duty, securing facilities, defensive to assure that anything that has been gained is maintained, and offensive actions to secure additional facilities as directed by the committee. It is important to understand that the committee must take into consideration certain political ramifications. public relations, logistics, and overall tactics, etc. This should not be the concern of militia commanders. The commander's concern should be applied to the safety and success of any mission assigned. Offensive actions to secure areas, displace rebels, and confront rebel forces will become an active part of the militia duties. Recruitment and cooperation with other units will be necessary. Command structure will be determined by committees of safety cooperating with other committees within the county, or newly created county committees of safety can, or a new newly created county committee of safety can be established. Maintaining flow of goods, communications, and utilities is a primary duty for those not otherwise assigned. As the acquisition of facilities increases, so too will be the manpower needs to maintain and continue the operation of those facilities. This part will be continued in Episode 6.